Commanders fans who want to dig deeper into the X's and O's, the Take Command podcast is the pod for you. New episodes drop immediately after games and every Tuesday and Thursday, wherever you get your pods.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, yeah. What's going on, DMV? You know who it is, youngest in charge movement. Linnell Willingham here with you live and local on 106.7 The Fan and always streaming live on the always free Odyssey app. Ride with me. And to take you up to 10 o'clock here on this Wednesday night edition of Overtime. Feels good to be back here in the saddle on OT. We got a lot to get to. We heard from the head coach of the Washington Commanders, Dan Quinn, as they took the field in Ashburn for their first practice of the week, getting themselves geared up for what, in all likelihood, is a game Sunday night against Seattle that will define your season. We'll talk all things burgundy and gold as we roll throughout the program. Our pal Tom Shad of the Washington Post going to give us a ring. We'll talk to our pal Chase Hughes of the Monumental Sports Network in the 8 o'clock hour, as we will talk a lot about the Washington Wizards here tonight. You all know how I feel about the D.C. family, and I'll touch on them here real quick, briefly. Last night, first of all, just an absolute thriller at Cap One Arena. Wizards falling in overtime to the Philadelphia 76ers. But if you have, I know it's football season. I know we got the World Series going on. I know we got hockey going on. What was that on Monday that we had, Metal Chris? What was that, the Sports Equinox, where you had all of the six major sports leagues here in North America playing all on one day? So it's hard. I get it. It's hard to maybe remind yourselves that, oh, wait, basketball season has officially started. If you have been keeping up with the D.C. family, you couldn't have asked for a better start through the course of four games. We'll talk about them hot and heavy as we ease our way into the 8 o'clock hour. We'll also get you a fresh installment, an L Super Six Pack, my top six teams in the National Football League, as we get you geared up for week number 9. Speaking of week number 9, and maybe this is a conversation that we'll have maybe after Sunday, it'll be more appropriate, but I want to tease it a little bit here tonight. We'll take a spin around the National Football League. We'll let you hear from Kevin O'Connell. We'll let you hear from Lamar Jackson. We'll let you hear from Coach Harbaugh, Eagles defensive coordinator Vic Fangio. By the way, if you weren't paying attention to the ticker this afternoon, the Philadelphia Eagles making a massive move to try and upgrade their secondary. We'll get you the details on that as we roll throughout the show as well. But we will take a look ahead at the deadline, and we'll leverage the conversation here locally. Does Sunday against Seattle, does that impact the trade deadline coming up? We'll have that conversation as we roll throughout the show here as well. But, man, I can't help but think about what is next for the Washington Commanders. Honestly, this was a season that was supposed to be filled with optimism and hope. And really, it was all about, could you replicate last year's success? And we had these conversations all throughout the course of the offseason. But the reality is, Washington's been ravaged by injuries here through 8 weeks. They just have been. Not only have they been ravaged by injury, I also think on both sides of the football, offensively, defensively, I'll say the quiet part out loud, they just haven't played that well. That's the tough part. No one wants to really address the elephant in the room. We can talk about injuries all day long, but what about who's healthy? What about who's ready and available? Those guys, in my opinion, not making the requisite plays to allow you to make the postseason. And we'll talk about Washington's playoff odds as we roll throughout the show as well, but I opened up saying this. This is a game Sunday night, and you're wearing your Super Bowl throwbacks. Art Monk going to get inducted into the Ring of Fame. It is going to be fireworks at Northwest Stadium on Sunday Night Football. You're in prime time. Everyone's watching you. But you've also lost 3 in a row. You also sit with a record of 3-5, and your likelihood of your chances of making the playoffs get slimmer and slimmer each time you step out on the field and lose. And that was the case on Monday night against the Chiefs as Washington fell 28-7. Where do things currently stand with the burgundy and gold, for me at least? I said it all week long, if you had the chance to listen to me, 4-7 over on the Team 980 for the burgundy and gold today. Sunday or Monday night, rather, and I know this is going to sound like absolute loser talk, so bear with me here for a second. I felt all week long that Monday didn't really matter. Honestly, in the grand scheme of things, Monday didn't really matter, and here's why. This is about making the playoffs. All roads lead towards the playoffs for this group. That's what I think the baseline expectation was heading into this thing. And as a 27-year-old, right, I don't think, and I, matter of fact, I know, this is my favorite team. I bleed burgundy and gold. I am addicted to the product, right? I haven't gotten the chance to bear witness to this team making the playoffs in consecutive years ever. So to me, right, while everyone was chasing the ghost of the NFC Championship game, we're talking about the Super Bowl, I get all that. But to me, the realistic expectations for this group for year two of Jayden Daniels, for year two of Dan Quinn, for year two of Adam Peters, it was all about making the postseason. And right now, 8 weeks into this thing, you're the 13 seed. Huh? Yeah. The 13 seed in the NFC with a record of 3-5, and more importantly, a 1-4 record within the conference, tied with the New York Giants for the worst record in the conference, which is why I say Monday against Kansas City, when it all boils down, didn't really matter. I'm not going to say it didn't matter. Let me rephrase that. It damn sure is not as important as your next two contests. Starting Sunday night at home against Seattle, and then the following Sunday at home against a team that, for my money, is one of the hottest right now in the NFC, talking about the Detroit Lions. Those two games, to me, when it comes to the playoff picture, and to me, that's what's most important right now for this group, those two games are far more important than the game that you played Monday night in Kansas City. So that brings us to this conversation. If, and I think they should have been thinking this way as well, but they're professionals. They're not a dumb radio host like me. But that's how I was thinking all week. And I know just from taking a bunch of calls, you all felt that way as well. Reading tweets on social media, you all felt that way as well. So when you look at this team through that lens, and we now know the news we found out earlier this afternoon, Scary Terry, as we're 2 days away from Halloween, by the way, Scary Terry not going to be able to give it a go Sunday night against the Seahawks, and they got to have a game. So when you consider the importance of Sunday versus the importance of this past Monday, did it make sense to give it a go? Did it make sense to put Terry McLaurin out there? Because you now have lost him for the big one. We'll have this conversation as we roll throughout the opening hour of this program. We'll take your calls at 1-800-636-1067. If you want to keep the conversation rolling with me on social media, easy, easy thing to do. It is at NELL_BTP. Heck of a lot to get to. We'll put Adam Peters under the microscope in the 7 o'clock hour. But when we come back, I'll let you hear from the head coach of the Washington Commanders, Dan Quinn. He gave an injury update on a couple of key Commanders in terms of their status for Sunday night against the Seahawks. That is next there on The Fan.
It's time to take command.
Commanders fans who want to dig deeper into the X's and O's, the Take Command podcast is the pod for you. I'm Grant Paulson, and along with my co-host, 10-year NFL tight end Logan Paulson, we break down the plays and schemes and give you in-depth analysis, honest evaluations, and the context you need to truly understand the game. New episodes drop immediately after games and every Tuesday and Thursday. Listen to and follow Take Command wherever you get your pod.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Just getting rolling here on this Wednesday night edition of Overtime. We're tapped in to the youngest in charge, and O. Willingham. We'll take you up to 10 o'clock as we ease our way into the 7 o'clock hour. We will talk about the injury bug currently plaguing the Washington Commanders. Speaking of the injury bug, we just got an injury report from the Commanders' official Twitter account. So I'll read off the following. Zach Ertz, DNP on the first practice of the week with rest. Matt Gay, who did not play on Monday night against Kansas City, partially why Washington was forced to go for it so much. He did not practice with a back injury. Terry McLaurin, a DNP with a quad. Obviously, he left after that big catch he had along the left sideline. Von Miller getting a vet rest day. This one kind of worries me a little bit. Jerzon Newton, Washington's second-year defensive tackle, he was a DNP today with an ankle injury. Laremy Tunsil, who we know left in that first half, a DNP with a hamstring injury. We'll get you an update on him from Coach Quinn coming up momentarily. Kolson Yankoff, who missed Washington's Monday night contest with a hamstring, he was limited. And then Jayden Daniels was a full practice participant, which is tremendous news in terms of his status for Sunday night. He was a full participant with a hamstring. Javon Kinlaw, who, of all the injuries coming out of Monday Night Football, if I'm being honest, that was the one I was most concerned about. Talking about Javon Kinlaw, he dove for Patrick Mahomes, landed on his shoulder. The way he was catering to the shoulder, the way that the staff was focusing on the shoulder, I actually thought maybe there was a chance that Kinlaw suffered that gruesome pec injury that knocked people out for the year. Luckily, it was not a pec injury. He was a full participant in today's practice with what they're calling a shoulder injury, and then Bobby Wagner, a full participant with a thumb injury. Let's get to the big-time news we found out prior to the start of practice. Here is Commanders head coach Dan Quinn on the status of Pro Bowl wide receiver Terry McLaurin heading into Sunday night.
Terry re-injured his quad, and so he'll be out this Sunday night. We'll reevaluate it next week to see where it goes. Bum for him, for us, just tough, you know, where it goes. But we'll see what, you know, the next week looks like.
Any expectation of how long for him, or kind of is this worse or?
No expectations on that. Nothing long term of that we're under consideration for. So still early days, but we'll reevaluate it, see where we go and where it can take us. But yeah, too early to predict, just like a day and a half later.
Yeah, not good. Not good is how I would describe Terry McLaurin's situation, his injury. So let's go in reverse here for a second. I think to me, as someone that is paid to cover this, paid to talk about this on a day-in, day-out basis, they sure are giving us bare bones in terms of information. I don't think anybody, still to this day, I don't think there is anybody outside the walls of Ashburn that know truly what Terry is dealing with on the injury front. They're listing it as a quad. Tom Shad of the Washington Post said that Terry told him it was a quad and a hip flexor. He went to go see the sports hernia doctor. That normally means that you have a sports hernia or there is concern of a sports hernia. But because DQ, Adam Peters and company are treating Ashburn like Patriots East, I get it. They're trying to, you know, not divulge any information, not tip off anything to the opponent, but damn. It'd be nice to know what exactly Terry McLaurin is dealing with. I opened up the show talking about the importance of the next 2 weeks because they are conference games versus the importance of this past Monday night against Kansas City. Terry is out for Sunday night. I know hindsight is 20/20, but if you were going to push him, if you were going to ask him to give it a go, knowing that he was hurt, I would have much rather you had done that in a game that matters. And I know what they're going to say. They're paid over there to win every game that's on the schedule. I totally understand that. But I'd much rather have him give it a go, risk re-injury in a game that matters. Like Sunday night, under the lights, Art Monk getting inducted into the Ring of Fame, Jayden Daniels potentially making his return. That made the most sense. But we're here. It happened. Everything's come and gone. I said this a month ago when the injury first happened. I did not want Terry McLaurin to return until he was 100%. And it was met with a lot of blowback. People saying, Linnell, nobody plays at 100% in the National Football League during the regular season. You want your star wide receiver to, because this is the reality that I said then that you could be facing. Everybody out there that's got a brain understands right now that despite what Sergeant Slogan continues to say, is week to week, so on and so forth. This is a situation to me that is going to linger throughout the duration of the regular season. And because we don't have all the information, it is my job to speculate. In the speculation, the tea leaves read, man, either these two aren't on the same page or somebody made a poor decision somewhere down the line in his, buzz phrase here, return to play process, right? Because if, and this is where everything gets muddied up here and where we get at odds on social media as fans. Some people are looking at this season through the lens of, well, it's year two of a rebuild, so let's not do anything foolish that can jeopardize the long-term success of the program. That's why they're erring on the side of caution with Jaden Daniels. You probably should err on the side of caution with your $30 million per year wide receiver as well. To put him out there before he was 110% ready to go, I think is bad on the organization. I do. Now, with a soft tissue injury, it's tough, right? Because it's not like there's a surgery that can happen. And, well, it's another part of this conversation. See, that's why the idea of not knowing exactly what's wrong really muddies the waters here in terms of the conversation that we can have. Because I've been under the belief the whole time that, yeah, he's got a sports hernia. And because you don't go see the sports hernia doctor if there is not major concern about a sports hernia. Now, there are levels to a sports hernia. I think he opted against surgery, and this is going to be something that lingers throughout the course of the year. The question is, was that the right decision? Normally, right, when you're talking about a sports hernia for an NFL wide receiver or a high-level athlete, you're looking at about a 6 to 8 week timeline, which if you're McLaurin, if you're the team, you're looking at it like, damn, we don't want to lose this guy for that extended period of time. Well, I think you should have erred on the side of caution when it came to his injury. If there was an option for surgery and they chose to bypass it to play this dumb game the rest of the year where he's in the lineup, out of the lineup, is Terry practicing? Is he not practicing? Is he hurt? Is he not hurt? I would have much rather him just opted for surgery. See you in 8 weeks, King. Point blank. Point blank. Because now this is going to be a talking point all year long. Now the whispers are going to become screams in terms of the decision-making process, not with the injury, but dating back to this past summer, sitting out of the offseason program, not signing him sooner, not having him in camp, making him more susceptible to the injury that he has suffered. That's my issue. That's my frustration with all of this. Angers me, honestly. Because I felt like it was so avoidable. And I saw this coming, it felt like. It felt like the writing was on the wall when he opted not to have surgery and when Dan Quinn, you know, described him as week to week. He missed four games. He missed four games. So think about it like this. I told you the timeline of the surgery. If it was a sports hernia, you were looking at probably 6 to 8 weeks. Wouldn't you much rather him just miss 6 weeks straight up and then come back knowing he's 100%, knowing that this isn't going to be a thing the rest of the year? Well, now he's about to miss his fifth game of the year. And when he does come back, who's to say it doesn't, you know, re-aggravate again? That's always been my frustration when it comes to the Terry McLaurin injury. I just don't know if all parties involved over there in Ashburn made the right decision. Now, it's easy. What do they call it when you they call it Monday morning quarterbacking when you go back and question decisions the day after? It's easy to play Wednesday night doctor when it comes to this decision. But, like, I'm not wrong. I don't look crazy. I don't sound off the wall when I say this. And I know it's frustrating for all parties involved. Terry, I feel for him as a competitor, as a man, as a human, because there's nothing more that he wanted than to be in training camp, than to play for this team. But he had to do what he had to do for him and his family, and I totally understand that. But this was the risk that you ran when you decided to skip out on the offseason program. As we ease our way into the 7 o'clock hour, we will put the summer under the microscope including the decisions that Washington made from a personnel standpoint when it comes to wide receiver. Because I'll be real with you. I know hindsight is 20/20. It's easy to do it. In hindsight, boy, does it look like they didn't make many good decisions when it came to wide receiver this offseason. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. We'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, other side of the break, as we hit the top of the 7 o'clock hour, we'll let you hear some more from the head coach of the Washington Commanders, Dan Quinn. He gave an injury update on Jaden Daniels, as well as Laremy Tunsil. We'll also look at the decision-making from a personnel standpoint at wide receiver this offseason. All that and more coming up next here on Overtime.
Commanders fans who want to dig deeper into the X's and O's, the Take Command podcast is the pod for you. We break down the plays and schemes and give you in-depth analysis. New episodes drop immediately after games and every Tuesday and Thursday. Listen to and follow Take Command wherever you get your pods.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
1-800-636-1067 is the number. You can tweet at me as well. It is at N-E-L-L underscore BTP. Tapped into the youngest in charge, Noah Willingham, taking you up to 10 o'clock here on this Wednesday night edition of Overtime. What we're chewing on right now here at the top of the 7 o'clock hour. The Washington Commanders have had some very interesting decisions that were made throughout the course of the offseason, here in the regular season, when it comes to the wide receiver position. We found out earlier from the head coach of the Commanders, Dan Quinn, that Terry McLaurin already ruled out for Sunday Night Football against the Seattle Seahawks coming up this weekend, a crushing blow for the Commanders, and more importantly, the fifth missed game of the season for one Terry McLaurin. Now, there are some of you out there that are going, see, I told you so. We were waiting on this. Don't remember, and I've been doing this on air for like about 3 years now. And in that time frame, there's been a lot of mess that's happened. I've been working here for 4 years. In that time frame, there's a lot of mess that's happened. I don't remember watching this fan base turn on a beloved figure like McLaurin the way that we saw this offseason. I can't compare it to anything I've ever seen here with you guys. Honestly. And I'm not blaming you for it. I totally get it. This is an emotional fan base. You all wear it on your sleeves, as do I. We love our burgundy and gold. And coming off of last year, I think emotions were at sky-high pitch, right? A fever pitch. I think emotions were through the roof. And when you had that dark cloud hovering over the organization all offseason with Terry McLaurin's contract saga, and then when he decides to skip training camp and skip the offseason program, the first thing that a lot of folks said, well, is he going to be healthy for the course of 17 weeks? Now, here's the thing. Just because he held out, it wasn't a foregone conclusion that he was going to get hurt. Look at CeeDee Lamb last year for Dallas. CeeDee Lamb skipped the entire offseason program, came back and went Kanye crazy during the regular season, right? Ja'Marr Chase skipped training camp for the Cincinnati Bengals. T. Higgins skipped camp for the Cincinnati Bengals and went federal. So it's not like when you skip the program, like it's this foregone conclusion that you're going to get hurt. But when you're talking about a wide receiver in McLaurin that is 30 years old, right, it becomes a lot more likely that the scenario that's playing out right now in real time, it becomes a lot more likely to happen when a kid's 30 years old, when a guy's 30 years old. I think my frustration right now with the Terry McLaurin saga, the Terry McLaurin situation, I just don't know if Washington did enough at wide receiver this offseason to protect themselves. I'll take it a step further. The way that they handled wide receiver this offseason, Terry's contract included, gross negligence. Think about it. Look at the plan that they had at wide receiver. And this is a group that had the second most cap space in the National Football League. And I understand it, right? You don't have to beat me over the head with it. I get it. Teams are not built through free agency. When you're trying to build a sustained winner, you do it via the draft. But let's not act like Washington did not have resources to do better than what they did at wide receiver. Let's start with Terry McLaurin himself, right? I think we all agree here locally that he is worth the $30 million per that he ultimately ended up signing for. Now, I don't know if that deal was on the table all offseason. I don't know, you know, if Terry McLaurin refused to sign that deal earlier and could have got himself on the field sooner, but it's very difficult not to look down that road, right? You begin to question and wonder, well, damn, could he have had this deal earlier in the offseason? Could all of this have been prevented? I think that's, you know, TBD. No one will really know the real answer to that. But I do know this. If I am a general manager constructing a roster in year two of a rebuild, but a year two in which I'm trying to replicate last year's success, trying to make the playoffs for the second time in a row, I'm going to give myself more insurance at wide receiver than what I gave. You know what I'm saying? We needed Kaiser. We needed Blue Cross Blue Shield. We ended up with Medicaid. That's what happened to wide receiver. I'm going to tell you how T.I. is. Washington did not do enough at wide receiver to protect themselves. Here's what I mean. They went out and made the trade for Deebo Samuel, a wide receiver that we know is uber talented, but the book on him is he has not been able to stay healthy throughout the course of 17 weeks. Noah Brown, a guy that was extremely serviceable for you last year in a pinch when you needed him most, that was who you relied on to be your number two wide receiver. He hasn't been able to stay healthy throughout the entirety of his 7-8 year career. And you thought you were going to be the team? Come on. Wishful thinking. Adam Peters, wishful thinking. Washington Commanders. That's my frustration with this. What did you do to protect yourself from this reality? Because this is what I keep hearing. They don't have enough at wide receiver. They don't have this. They don't have that. Well, whose fault is that? Pick up what I'm putting down here? That's the tough part. You brought in Michael Gallup, KJ Osborne, Chris Moore at wide receiver to be the insurance for Terry McLaurin and for the group of people out there this offseason that thought Washington could do what they did last year without Terry. Don't you look like a damn fool. And I sat up here and I told you all. I said it time in and time out. I thought all offseason long that the Commanders needed Terry more than Terry needed the Commanders, and it's coming to fruition right in front of our eyes. This past game is night and day different without McLaurin in the lineup. It just is. And I've heard people, because this has been in, we're in what, week 9 now? The pass game has been an issue really for all 8 weeks. When you go look at the numbers, Washington is in the high 20s when it comes to their passing offense on the year, right? And it goes back to what I said. Did you do enough to protect yourselves from this situation? 1-800-636-1067 is the number. Did the Washington Commanders do enough to protect themselves at wide receiver? Right now, the answer is no. Because where is KJ Osborne? Where is Michael Gallup? See, here's the thing. This is what I literally run my head into a wall over. The guys that they cut, they're not even calling them right now to come back and try and fill the void at wide receiver. They'd rather bring in Chosen Anderson. They'd rather bring in Treylon Burks. Which leads me to believe, well, why did you bring these guys in the first place if you didn't realistically think they could be a part of your program? That's my frustration. That's my frustration here. What was your plan at the wide receiver position? There's a lot of work to do with this roster moving forward. A lot of work to do. The question is, and maybe this is, look, I get it. This isn't a conversation probably for the end of October. We're sure going to have it during the bye week when we got some time, if you pick up what I'm putting down. But I can't help but look at Adam Peters and go, man, did you do enough? Because I hear where some of you are coming from. I think, and maybe you could tell me at 1-800-636-1067. You tweet at me as well, NELL_BTP. Feels like most people are frustrated with McLaurin here. Well, Terry, why did you show up? This is a part of the business. You can't be mad at Terry McLaurin for not showing up. You can't be mad at Terry McLaurin for getting injured. This was always a possibility. We knew this. Who you can be a little frustrated with is the grocery picker here in the nation's capital, Adam Peters. And I get it, right? A lot of folks act like AP's wearing Teflon. A lot of folks act like it's equivalent to swearing in church when you say anything about the job that he's done to this point. That's what you all act like at times. And it frustrates me, but I get it. I totally get it. Totally get it. But at some point, the rubber's got to meet the road. And AP has to look himself in the mirror, look us in the eyes and go, you know what? Maybe I didn't do a good enough job. Honestly. And that's okay. I get it. It's year two of a rebuild. I get it. When you took over this organization, the cupboard was bare. Right? The refrigerator looked like one of a college student. Beers and Gatorade. This roster didn't have much. But to me, man, this offseason, and it's not just at wide receiver, it's at defensive end as well. This offseason, I don't think enough was done. You had the second most cap space in the National Football League. Now, I'm not saying go out and break the bank for guys, but you could have done a hell of a lot better. You could have done a hell of a lot better than Robbie Chosen, than KJ Osborne, than Michael Gallup. You could have done a hell of a lot better than that, but you didn't. And this is what you have now ended up with here. But I'll tell you this. Two things can be true when it comes to the 2025 Washington Commanders, because I hear the way you all are, you know, talking on the air, talking on social media. I totally get it. Two things can be true. I think the injury bug has totally crushed this group, but I also think Washington just hasn't played very well through the course of 8 weeks. I want to begin to take your calls, though. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. Is it fair to direct some blame in the direction of Adam Peters for Washington's inability to overcome the injury bug here early on in the season? Your calls coming up. 1-800-636-1067 is the number here on this Wednesday night edition of Overtime. You're tapped in to the youngest in charge, and O. Willingham, taking you up to 10 o'clock. What we're chewing on right now is this. Terry McLaurin ruled out for Sunday Night Football against the Seattle Seahawks. And when you take a look at this Commanders wide receiver room, do they do enough to protect themselves from this scenario that they're currently dealing with? You can tweet at me as well. It is at NELL_BTP. As we continue to advance this conversation about the Commanders and how they address wide receiver this offseason, I do want to address the notion that the season is over because the injury bug has crushed Washington. That the season is over because of injuries. First and foremost, I do not believe the season is over. I don't. Said it coming out of the Dallas game. You needed to pick up, first and foremost, you needed to enter the bye at 5-5. And you needed the games in the NFC more than you needed the games out of the conference. So, if you're just now tuning in, at the start of the show, I said that Monday night did not matter. I said at the start of the show, Monday night against Kansas City did not necessarily matter. Why? Because you're 1-4 within the NFC. So a loss is not going to change where you stand in the current playoff picture. But you needed these next two. So let's rewind here a little bit. You lost Terry McLaurin against Kansas City, a game that didn't matter. So now you're not going to have him for Sunday Night Football, a game that does matter. First and foremost, I begin to think, well, why the hell did they not wait until this weekend to give Terry a go with Jayden Daniels being out there as well as he's expected to return to the lineup? That's the frustration here. But the other thing is this. Knowing what Washington went through this offseason at wide receiver, knowing how things moved, knowing the contract saga with one Terry McLaurin, knowing that that was going to be a potential reality, I don't know if Washington gave themselves enough insurance, enough protection at the wide receiver position. When you think about who they added, who they brought in via free agency in the draft, Noah Brown, oft injured. KJ Osborne, washed. Michael Gallup, washed and cut. Chris Moore, washed. And then you got Luke McCaffrey coming back, who was a top 100 pick that I think they had, you know, relatively high expectations for internally. So maybe that's the reason. Maybe they were expecting this year to jump from Luke McCaffrey. I'll say this. He's been tremendous as a special teamer. He made a hell of a catch on Monday night. He's made some flash plays throughout the season. Has not been consistent enough on a down-in, down-out basis. Jalen Lane, who you drafted out of Virginia Tech, speedster, special teams war daddy, ace kick returner and punt returner. He has not had the rookie season that you need him to have to offset your poor planning at wide receiver. It just hasn't happened to this point. But two things can be true. And I'm looking at this team right now, big picture. Two things can be true. Washington simply, to me, they just haven't played well through 8 weeks, offense and defense. But the injury bug has crushed them. See, my problem with trying to blame it all on injuries is I look at football across the NFL. I don't have tunnel vision with football. I look at the Detroit Lions being able to overcome major injuries. I look at the San Francisco 49ers being able to overcome major injuries. Why can't we? Now, I get it, right? Those are two established programs. Maybe that's the answer. San Francisco has had this structure in place for years. They've been able to build the meat and potatoes of their roster. They've been able to improve their depth. Same thing with Detroit under Brad Holmes. They've been able to improve the floor of the roster. The floor of this roster ain't good enough. Because you can't overcome this injury bug. It's being used as a major excuse. I don't think they're using it as an excuse internally, but every time I turn on sports radio, every time I'm on social media, that's what you all scream. Oh, they're hurt. The season's over because they're hurt. Season's over, or I don't think the season's over. But if it is, yeah, the injury bug is a thing, but they haven't played well. They simply haven't. 1-800-636-1067. Is it fair to direct some blame in the direction of Adam Peters for Washington's inability to overcome their injuries? I look at wide receiver and defensive end the same way. Those are the two spots they've been ravaged by injury at. You went with Von Miller. You chose Von Miller over more impactful edges throughout free agency. You went with Josh Connerly Jr. instead of drafting an edge. So when I look at the issues that they're having getting after the quarterback, when I look at the attrition that they've suffered up front, look, nobody plans to be down your top three defensive ends. I'll give you that, right? Dietrich Wise, Dorrance Armstrong, Javonte Jean-Baptiste. But it happens. It happens. Look at Detroit last year. And I know I'm talking about programs that have had a couple of years to build up the floor of their roster, but damn. Pick better players. That's the best way that I can put it. Pick better players. Look, I'm not saying that Adam Peters should be fired. I'm not saying that Adam Peters is doing a bad job. We went over this about a week and a half, 2 weeks ago, over on the Burgundy and Gold Today. I give him a B+ for the job that he has done since taking over. I think he has improved the starters along this roster. I think there is a clear depth issue that this team is dealing with. I think some of the draft picks have not made the impact that they needed to when you're talking about top 100 picks, when you're talking about fringe first rounders. Just hadn't happened. Now, we're not going to evaluate and, you know, give some type of overarching indictment on a draft class 2 years into it, but you're under the microscope. You're on the clock, no pun intended. 1-800-636-1067. Is it fair to direct some blame in the direction of Adam Peters for Washington's inability to overcome some of these injuries? Let's go to Mark in Largo. Wants to chime in. What's up, Mark?
Man, you know what my answer is going to be. I'm the president of, I mean, we need to look at Adam Peters' fan club. Sure. Sure. And here's what's worse than that, Linnell. We have no draft capital coming up in 26.
Huh.
Our only choice, I mean, This is what I was talking about.
How does it get better?
This is what I was talking about. And I've been longer than Ion has been saying it. I've been saying this a long time, for like 4 or 5 months, ever since the Terry deal. Because I finally figured out why Terry and his agent did what he did, Linnell. And back me up on this, man. I think when Terry went to the OTAs back in May and June, when he and Debo were off the field, I think he saw how Jaden was struggling with the talent that they had. And I think in his mind, he knew, oh, I can get anything there. Because I'm the only thing that me and Debo are the only thing that's got going on this team. So in a sense, I understood why they did what they did. Because look at the receiving corps now.
Yeah. I get it.
The receiving corps, look, and now here's the sad part, bro. You had Zacchaeus, who's in Chicago. You had De'Ami Brown, who's in Jacksonville. And Jameson Crowder, who, by the way, I think is still available. They can get in.
Oh, Mark, if you're clamoring for the third act of Jameson Crowder, then give me a break.
I'm not saying I am, but here's what I'm saying. These guys work better with productivity, his growth last year, along with Terry. Now, Terry being hurt is a problem. And I do think some of his holdout does have something to do with it. Yes, Adam Peters does have to hold, because if he wouldn't have been in this, I'm going to show you who's boss syndrome, instead of saying, you know
then
what,
maybe, I need to just – maybe we'd be in a better spot. I appreciate the call, Mark. I see you all lined up. We'll get to you coming up on the other side of the break. If you're in the car, call in. 1-800-636-1067. Is it fair to look at Adam Peters to point some blame in his direction for Washington's inability to overcome the injuries? Your call's next. I see you all lined up on the phones. We'll get to you coming up here momentarily. If you're getting the busy signal, keep trying this, man. We're in high demand, is the best way you put it. 1-800-636-1067. Knowing what Washington's currently dealing with at the wide receiver position, knowing what they're dealing with on the season, record of 3-5, beat up at a bunch of different spots, but right now we're talking about wideout in particular, is it fair? I'm not saying the season going to ruins is AP's fault. Let me put that out there. That's not at all what I'm saying. What I'm asking is this. Is it fair? Because we want to be diplomatic on this program, y'all. Is it fair to direct some blame, just a teensy bit, or a lot, depending on if you're Mark and Largo, is it fair to direct some blame in the direction of general manager Adam Peters for Washington's inability to overcome the injuries? 1-800-636-1067. Devon is in Rockville. What's going on, bro, man?
What's up, Linnell, man? You hit it on the nose, man. Absolutely it is, for all the reasons that you named. Like you said, man, it was no insurance on how can your leverage being Terry is old, we don't pay old receivers, but you didn't go and get nobody. Like you said, we could have got Devontae Adams. Yeah, he older, but we could have got, look what he's doing over there with the Rams. All we needed was somebody with a name, and that could be a possession receiver for Jaden. Yeah, we went out there and drafted a offensive tackle, an offensive lineman, and partnering.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? For the future, for protecting Jaden, but also protecting Jaden is getting him playmakers, getting him weapons on that field. Then you go and you go get a hurt Treylon Burks. Yeah, he's coming back with a chip on his shoulder. He was supposed to be A.J. Brown's replacement, but it's a wish and a prayer. You know what I'm saying? So it's just like when it came to this wide receiver position, I was always the one. I love Terry. I've been a Commanders fan since they've been the Redskins. I'm only 35. I'll be 36 November the 17th. I love Terry. But he's not that. He's not one of the ones of like.
See, that is where I would disagree. That is where I would disagree with you. And I'll ask you this, Devon. Did you watch Monday Night, brother?
So hear me out. Hear me out. When I say one of them ones, I'm not saying he's not a top 10 receiver.
Okay.
That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying he's not the CeeDee Lamb. We already
totally
know JJ and Chase is in their own world, right? But he's not a CeeDee Lamb. When I say CeeDee Lamb, Dak knows he's going to him 12 times a game. He's going to target him 17.
I think some of that, Devon, is not all on McLaurin, but I understand and pick up what you're putting down. I appreciate the call as always. Good to hear from you. So Devon mentioned Davante Adams. Now, Davante Adams signed a 2-year, $44 million deal, $26 million guaranteed to signing. That's a lot of money to commit to a reserve wide receiver. The one that I'm looking at, the one that drives me up a wall, De'Ami Brown was here. He signed for 1 year, $9.5 million guaranteed, and you couldn't, that was too much for you? For a guy that wouldn't have just been here for this year, he would have been here for years to come because he's younger. That's the one that I don't get, is not making more of a concerted effort to bring in a De'Ami Brown. Mac Hollins signs in New England, 2 years, $8.4 million, $3.5 million guaranteed at signing. You couldn't open up the checkbook for him either? Where are the established guys in our wide receiver room? That's my question. And you can make the same argument about defensive end. Now, I get it. No one plans on losing their top three DNs. I totally get that. But damn, I love Von Miller. Enjoy his hits with the Junks every week. Von Miller hasn't played worth a damn to start this year. Don't give me that he's second on the team in sacks either. He's playing 10 snaps a game. We didn't sign him here to be a high-volume participant. Totally get it. But I look at some of the other wide receivers that signed this offseason and go, man, I know maybe we probably couldn't afford Tay Adams, right? I know we probably couldn't afford, name your high-priced wideout, but there are some bargain bin dudes that you could have went after instead of K.J. Osborne, instead of Michael Gallup, instead of everyone's favorite, Chris Moore, instead of Noah Brown. That's my frustration. James is in Warrington.
James is in Warrington.
Once China. What's up, James?
Once China. What's up, James?
Hey, how's it going, Glenel? Hey,
turn your radio down. This is awkward.
Okay, what about now? Are we good now?
Are we? We're good.
Hold on. Go ahead. Just a sec.
Go ahead, James. We'll throw James on hold. We'll get back to him in a second. We'll stay in Warrington. Steve is in Warrington. What's up, Steve?
What's up, man? How you doing?
I'm good.
I'm just calling. I mean, I feel like we built up the offensive line, but we have no depth in wide receiver. I feel like we're rolling with like third string receivers compared to the Cowboys or anything else like that. I mean, we just have no depth at all.
I think it's a hell of a point that you're making. I think the depth is definitely a problem. Is it fair to point fingers in the direction of Adam Peters for this? You're defending AP in the developing of the offensive line, I assume, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I mean, we have this great offensive line, but we have no receivers to throw to. We have no defensive ends. I mean, I feel like we have the first-string starters, but then after that, we have nobody.
And when you put it that way, Steven, I appreciate the call. When you put it that way, it actually becomes more defensible. Because I get it, right? It's a double-edged sword here. We are in year two of a rebuild. I don't want him to just go out and commit a bunch of money long-term to guys that are free agents, right? Because, like I said at the start, good teams built their teams to the draft, not free agency. So he did spend money on this offensive line. He did spend capital on the defensive line. Javon Kinlaw got $15 million. So it's not like they totally neglected it, but it's a situation where clearly some more resources should have been provided. I mentioned De'Ami Brown. Amari Cooper, I know he ended up retiring. Maybe that wouldn't have happened if he was here getting opportunities. Keenan Allen, 1 year, $2.2 million guaranteed. How the hell are you choosing Keenan Allen over Noah Brown? Or Noah Brown over Keenan Allen? That's my frustration. Some of the decisions, they just don't make sense, specifically at wideout. But I get it. I don't want to play Monday morning general manager. It's not what this is about. But I think there are definitely some questions to be answered here. 1-800-636-1067. I got Captain Todd out in Florida wants to chime in. What's going on, brother?
Hey, now, what's going on, man?
What's going on, man?
How about that post-game YouTube chat, man? Huh? It was really friendly in there. Man, you were catching arrows and cannonballs and bullets and strays. Man, I couldn't believe they were going after you so hard.
Hey, man, it was a good time. It was a good time. What do you think, though?
So we were actually, the chat was much more tame today, and all of us said exactly what you're saying. You knew you were going to be without Debo for a handful of games. That's just what you get with him every year. You know, three or four games, he's not going to be there. They let OZ walk. They let Diami walk. They are bringing in Jags. And I'm actually with Mark and Largo, man. Jamison Crowder, he's reliable. He's a slot receiver. Who's our slot receiver right now? Do we have a natural, bona fide, true slot receiver on this team?
Supposed to be Luke.
I don't think we do.
Supposed to be Luke, but
I thought he's outside, though.
So, look, that's the dilemma and the debate that we've been having with Luke. That's why Chris Moore is out there in single wide receiver sets, not Luke. They look at him as more of a slot guy because they don't have confidence in his ability to beat man-to-man coverage. He's much better versus zone. He's much better when he can get a free release. So putting him in the slot is better.
Sure. Would you rather have Crowder or Moore out there?
Maybe
Crowder can groom Luke and teach him the position. He's been playing slot for 10 years.
I hope that wide receivers coach can groom Luke, but I get your point here. Totally.
Appreciate it, buddy.
Yes, indeed. You too, my man. 1-800-636-1067. Yeah. I mean, anybody that has issue with the way that they've constructed the roster here in year two, like, I hear you. I hear you, but I'm not going to totally blame roster construction for why they sit at 3-5. Like I said, two things can be true. One, the injury bug has crushed you. Two, you just haven't played very well. I totally get where everyone's coming from with this, but the question is this. Is it fair to point some blame in the direction of Cliff Kingsbury? Excuse me, not Cliff Kingsbury. In Adam Peters, is it fair to point some of the blame in his direction? And then I also want to advance the conversation ahead this way. Is it fair to point blame in the direction of AP? And then two, is it fair to look at some of the players, right, at wide receiver? Jalen Lane drops week in and week out, one of the team leaders in drops. Luke McCaffrey has made plays. Has he made enough plays? 1-800-636-1067. We'll continue with your calls next. Appreciate you all lining up on the phones. We're going to run through you here. In the 8 o'clock hour, we'll transition into some Washington Wizards basketball talk. But right now, taking your calls on the Burgundy and Gold, is it fair to direct some blame in the direction of Washington GM Adam Peters for their inability to overcome the injury bug here in the first 8 weeks? 1-800-636-1067. Alan is in Brookville. Wanted to chime in. What's going on, Alan?
Hey, how are you? I never call in, but I have to put some realism around what's going on right now. First of all, the notion that we have the second most cap space is complete crap because Adam Peters had to sign so many people on one-year contracts to be able to field a roster that could be so good last year. That's number one. And then that comes up, we have to refill all those spots. So we don't have as much cap space as what people think we have, you know, generally speaking. But when you talk about who's to blame, I would point it at everyone, right? Like, did Adam put the right people in the right places? Maybe not. Did he put places? Did he fill some of the roster spots that we should have filled? Maybe not. But let's not forget why we got Jaden Daniels. We were terrible. We were awful. We had no players around us whatsoever. So the fact of what we did last year was amazing. And look at the quarterbacks we faced last year versus the quarterbacks we faced this year.
But, Alan, this is the question I would ask, and I think you're spot on here. How is this team – because it sounds like you're trying to come to the defense of Adam Peters, and I totally get that. I'm not saying he's done a bad job. I would give him a grade of a B-plus for the job that he's done. But I'm not going to act like he's covered in Teflon here. Where are the future building blocks for this team? Look at your draft picks coming up in this year's draft. You talk about all the one-year deals. When are you going to fill this roster with your own young talent? You have your first-round pick, you have your third-round pick, you have your fifth, 2 6th, and a seventh. Not good enough. Where is our premium draft capital? Where is our young talent, more importantly?
That's a struggle, right? But he had to fill roster spots. That's why we got Tunsil. We made a bad deal with the cornerback. But, like, you got to take some chances, right, that when they thought that they had top-tier stuff going around them. But when you look, and we just don't have the depth on this team. We don't. And the one other thing that I want to talk about really quick when you talked about who's to blame, Like, I think it goes all over the place, right? But two things I would point out. Number one, why don't we run the football more if we don't have wide receivers?
Well, I think they're trying to. I think they're trying to, Alan, but right now it's tough sledding. 1-800-636-1067. Rob is in Upper Marlboro. What's up, Rob?
What's going on, man?
What's going on, man? How are you?
I'm going great, bro. I'm doing great. So, I kind of piggyback off of what the last guy said. I kind of have to point some blame to – I got to point it at Ron Rivera still, because he drafted so bad that we don't have any young talent on the team. So I still feel like we're still recovering from that era in a sense. And I still do also – I got to point some blame also to the coaches, because, you know, watching Cliff and – Joe Witt call plays, it's just hard. Like, watching, because when Cliff wants to call plays correctly, we're the best offense in the league. When Cliff calls a good drive, we score every time, or we're in the red zone.
But Rob, it's so easy to play Monday morning coordinator. Every play is designed to work. They have an execution issue more than anything else. That's on the offensive side of the football and on the defensive side of the football. But I hear what you're saying.
Yeah, man. On both sides. And on the defensive side, I would like to see Sanders still probably go back on the outside, because that's where he was the best last year. I mean, when he started on the inside, he was okay. But when he went on outside, that's when he really made his name. And I like the adjustment that they made on Monday night on the defensive side of the ball. But I would like them to continue to see them make adjustments. Like, yeah. That's just the worst thing about it.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you. Yeah. Adjustments have to continue to be made. We appreciate the call. it's just tough. And the question that I asked originally, like, is it fair to point blame in the direction of AP for their inability to overcome the injuries? I know you all want to talk about the coaches and the X's and O's and why things aren't happening, but I think all of that boils down to simply a lack of talent. And last caller said blame Ron Rivera. Hey, look, if you want to blame Ron and the Marty Party, have at it. I think you're totally in the right for that line of thinking. But the reality of the situation is that the guys that are here right now, the guys that are in that building over in Ashburn, simply are not playing very well right now. Can they be put in better positions to succeed? Sure. But at some point, you've just got to wear it as a player and go execute. On Monday night against Kansas City, and really the last 3 weeks, you have been god-awful running the football. Your traditional running game just hasn't been as impactful. Some of that has to do with the lack of threats on the perimeter. Some of it has to do with your guys up front just not playing well. Dallas, Chicago, Kansas City, fast linebackers that play downhill and want to knock your block off. Guess what? John Bates and Ben Sinnott as blocking tight ends have been great all year. They weren't very good the last 3 weeks when this running game has fell off. And I get it. On Monday night, when you're trying to target Nick Bolton, when you're trying to target Leo Chanel, like, those are some of the fastest linebackers in the NFL. I get it. But you still got to go out and execute. That's not Cliff's fault that they missed their blocks. That's not Cliff's fault that guys are blowing assignments up front. They've just got to be better. And here's the thing. Your backs are against the wall right now. Straight up. Your backs are against the wall. How are you going to handle this? Are you going to come out swinging? Or are you going to tuck your tail between your legs? Last year's group, when they went on this 3-game losing streak, they came out swinging. They fought their ass all the way to the conference championship game. Will this year's group, will this iteration of the Commanders have that same type of fight? I bet on the culture. So I said it all week last week. Monday night was a culture game. Are you going to lay down or are you going to punch back no matter who the opponent is? And I think in that first half you saw it. They came out ready. They came out prepared. Will we see that same level of fight from the outset against Seattle on Sunday night? 1-800-636-1067. Athan is in Annapolis. What's the time? What's going on, Athan?
You know, all these people calling for Jamison Crowder and Michael Gallup, well, please tell me whose practice squad and active roster are they on? Because there are 31 other teams, okay? If they're going to be the saviors of us, just let me know when we can go claim them, and I'll shut up about that. Everyone needs to – they're not good enough anymore. I'm sure if Jamison Crowder wanted to be here, he might be. He's probably just retiring. He's had a lot of injuries, and it is what it is. Here's the bottom line. Linnell, you hit the nail on the head. We just haven't played well, okay, to go with – Newton, Sandristil, Sinnott, Brandon Coleman, the right tackle they drafted this year, and then the Lane. They haven't been good enough. Those are guys that they needed to step up, this young talent that they've drafted that just haven't been good enough yet. Now, I'm not saying that the right tackle is a bust or anything. He's a rookie, but he's got to be better. Lane can't drop balls like that. You got to keep those drives going. Now, as far as free agency, I wanted Joey Bosa. Okay, even though he's injury-prone, he would have given you probably 11 games or something. So, yeah, there's other guys that could have gone out, and I give Adam Peters a B-plus because inheriting somebody else's crap, trust me, and all the crap holes I've cleaned up in my career over the years and the disasters that I've cleaned up, trust me, it's no fun, and it takes time to build a winning culture, okay? Noah Brown is fool's gold, so hopefully – they can put respectability here for the rest of the year. I think you got wishful thinking that they can beat the Eagles twice or you know maybe they can hang in with a couple teams. I don't see it happening, but I want to get their best effort. But to close out our call, you disappoint me, brother. Okay,
what you mean?
I ain't heard nothing from you out of the Angel Reese Victoria's Secret walkway. Come on, man, that was the. I can't even imagine what you do with that calendar at home.
Oh, my God. I have to say goodbye. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. Let's go to my main man, CJ. I need to see you there, bro, man. CJ in D.C., what's going on, bro?
What's up, Neil?
What's up, man? How you?
I'm good, man. I'm sitting up here, man. I've been dying laughing, man, since this topic has started, man. It's, to sit up here and think that 18 months into a rebuild of a program that's been down for 25 to 30 years, and the biggest focus is on Adam Peters is laughable to me. I'm a couple of callers too late, but a few callers ago, he hit it on the nose. We were in a position to draft JD because we were a poorly run, low-talent roster that needed to be rebuilt.
Yeah.
We happened to hit on JD, which sped people's expectations up and gave them false confidence of what this roster truly was.
Yeah.
It was talent was not here. Last year, no one was crying for, hey, we got to keep De'Ami Brown. The biggest deal going into the offseason was they wanted to get bigger in the trenches and more talented on the edges. That's where they put their focus.
Yeah.
They didn't anticipate. I don't think they truly anticipated Terry holding out, and maybe they undervalue his value to the overall program, but at the end of the day, they put a value on what his value, his monetary value was within their program.
Yep.
He wanted to exceed it, and it went where it went. The bottom line to it is, I look at other teams that do things the right way. We say we want it done the right way, but soon as we get hit a hiccup in the process, there's blame to be thrown around.
Mm.
But at the same time, I look at a team like, let's just say Atlanta, and I'm going to let you go in a second now. Just listen to me for a second. You look at a team like Atlanta. They went and got out the young, talented receiver. They went and got a dog running back. They got a tight end. They built on the back end. They shored up the trenches. Then they got their quarterback. They hit on Penix, hopefully. But we don't do it like this. This looks and sounds so much like 2012. It's not even funny.
People are looking for a microwave fix, CJ, and I just don't think that's the reality. I appreciate your call, as always, 1-800-636-1067. Here's what I will say to that, because I think CJ made a bunch of excellent points. There was a caller earlier that kind of was, you know, echoing the same sentiments. You've been down for so long, so you're not going to get back quickly. My thing is this, though. You can't have one foot in and one foot out. I think all of the moves they made this offseason told you that they were pushing their chips to the middle of the table and they were trying to go get this thing, which, by the way, is the right mentality to have. When you have a bona fide top 10 quarterback on a rookie contract, it is the job of the organization to do whatever they can to make sure you're as competitive as possible while he's on this rookie deal. Because it ain't going to last forever. He's not going to be cheap forever. And then the building of the roster becomes even more difficult. So I totally get it. You know, where folks are coming from with this in terms of like, hey, you know, we're in year two of the rebuild. Yes, we are, but this is different because you're now trying to maximize and capitalize Jaden being on this rookie contract. And I'm not saying go out and sign a bunch of bad multi-year free agent deals that put you or that compromise you rather financially over the course of 2, 3, 4 years. But you could have shopped better than you did, right? The best way that I can put it, we went shopping in free agency. We went shopping at Fashion Nova Men's when, in reality, when you're in year two of the rebuild, you need to be shopping at Neiman Marcus, right? You need to be shopping at Zara. You know what I'm talking about? So, look, it's easy to question the decision of Adam Peterson. Y'all know my slogan that we're putting on T-shirts. We're putting it around everywhere. We're at the mercy of the evaluator. Yes, we are. But damn it, the evaluator needs some critiquing. That's how I would put it. 1-800-636-1067. Lines are loaded still. If you're getting the busy signal, we appreciate you. We'll continue to run through these calls coming up on the other side of the break. Chase Hughes of the Monumental Sports Network going to join us at 8:30. But when we come back, we'll advance this conversation. How fair is it? Is it fair to point some blame in the direction of Adam Peters for Washington and their inability to overcome these injuries? And then on the other side of the break, I'll tell you the biggest issue currently plaguing the 2025 Washington Commanders. All that and more next here on The Fan.
It's time to take command.
Commanders fans who want to dig deeper into the X's and O's, the Take Command podcast is the pod for you. I'm Grant Paulson, and along with my co-host, 10-year NFL tight end Logan Paulson, we break down the plays and schemes and give you in-depth analysis, honest evaluations, and the context you need to truly understand the game. New episodes drop immediately after games and every Tuesday and Thursday. Listen to and follow Take Command wherever you get your pod.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.